Now the news. I'm Do Hong-yu. The U.S. House of Representatives has approved the debt ceiling deal to avoid default, sending it to the Senate. The White House says President Joe Biden welcomes the passage of the bill. Nick Harper reports from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, voting just a few moments ago. In the end, after all the weeks of debate, all the weeks of negotiation that we've seen, it passed relatively easy through the House of Representatives. 314 lawmakers approved this bill. Now, that's more than the simple majority they needed. They needed just half of the 435 lawmakers to approve it. That happened by quite a considerable margin. But I think what's interesting to note is this bill was crafted by the Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, along with the Democratic President Joe Biden. The Republican Party holds the majority in the House of Representatives, and if all of their members had voted for this, they could have passed this one through without any Democratic support.
As South Africa prepares to host the BRICS summit in the second half of this year, foreign ministers from Brazil, Russia, India and other countries will touch down in the country this week. The meeting will give member states a chance to reflect on regional and global development. It will also set expectations for the summit coming up in August. Julie Shire reports.
The annual BRICS foreign ministers meeting will set the tone for the 15th summit being held in South Africa. The grouping has grown in stature since its establishment in 2006 and has positioned itself as an alternative voice to the West. BRICS makes up 25% of the global economy, which is still fragile after the COVID-19 pandemic. Economic recovery has been set back further by the standoff between founding member Russia and the Ukraine. Africa is a key focus at this year's summit as it ramps up free trade ambitions. The inclusion of other countries in the formation is also on the agenda and will be explored at the Friends of BRICS meeting.
Sudan's Civil Aviation Authority says the country's airspace will remain closed for another 2 weeks amid the continued conflict. Officials say the closure could be extended again in the future. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he's held productive discussions on artificial intelligence with his European counterparts. High-level talks are taking place in Sweden between U.S. and EU officials, with trade, technology and AI regulation on the agenda. Trent Murray reports.
This is one of those meetings which on first glance could be thought of as a bit of a talk fest between senior politicians, but it's very, very important. The official name of it is the EU-US Trade and Technology Council. And as the name suggests, it basically talks about the growing convergence and agreement and alignment between both sides of the Atlantic on issues relating to trade and technology. This year, there was a big focus on artificial intelligence. We've seen the EU push for a voluntary code of conduct between countries. Effectively, the governments on both sides of the Atlantic are saying that the technology in this area is just exploding so rapidly that the governments can't be caught on the back foot trying to deal with it. So the code of conduct was a big issue, but we also heard some other issues around trying to make sure that supply chains were resilient.
The German government says it'll close 4 out of the 5 Russian consulates in the country after Moscow limited the number of German officials in Russia. The Russian embassy in Berlin, as well as one consulate general, will continue to operate. The measures will take effect from the end of the year. At the same time, Germany's foreign office also says it's closing down 3 of its consulates general in Russia. Stuart Smith reports from Moscow.
The German Foreign Ministry says its actions are designed to create a parity of personnel and structures after the changes imposed last weekend. It says most of those who'll lose their jobs or have to leave the country are working at cultural institutions like schools and nurseries. At the same time, the German Foreign Ministry said there was simply no basis for bilateral structures between the two countries. Meanwhile, top Russian official Dmitry Medvedev has again described the United Kingdom as Russia's eternal enemy and alleged officials helping Ukraine, whether civilian or military, are legitimate targets. That came in response to the UK Foreign Minister saying Ukraine has a right to project force outside its borders against Russia as it seeks to defend itself. On Wednesday, there were multiple reports of drone attacks and shelling from Ukraine against targets within Russia.
And that's the news. I'm Do Hong-yu.